Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Good morning.
I just felt like doing that. Hi.
That's called Mike, that's called eefing.
Eefing. Do you have eefing?
I know
you're going into your machine to see if we have
eefing. The machine.
It's Wednesday. That means yaks today. Tons of them. And we'll get to those momentarily. So keep them coming. I don't know whether to preview this prior to the Yak Shack or after the Yak Shack to ask for next week's yaks.
And do you have a topic you want to suggest?
Yes. And I don't know whether I will regret this or I will be delighted with this.
Could you overprogram the segment?
I don't think I'm going to overprogram this.
Or underprogram, even worse. Well,
when I've requested people to call first thing in the morning, that's resulted in some fun.
Yes.
When I've asked for complaints and criticism, that's every week, and that's fun, too, for me.
Very clear.
And what I'm asking for now is, based on you boys know that yesterday, or maybe the day before, was that you or me?
That was me. My bad. Sorry about that. Wow, I hate the stupid Siri.
But anyway, well, it's Apple technology. We talked about that yesterday.
We did.
Love it. But anyway, the request I make for next week's Yak Shack are jokes.
Oh, that's dangerous ground.
Wow. Especially this time of year.
Let me tell you why it's not. Why it's not. And this is,
it's not.
Because this is an edited feature. I screen.
There's a screen.
The yaks. And that's what has made the Yak Shack unbelievably successful. And I don't want to be like Donald Trump, but I will tell you, I am delighted with the segment. The segment has legs. It continues to have legs. I love
not sad.
It's not sad. I love hearing from our listeners. It's pleasurable to me.
Mark this as a time capsule moment in the show.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, you may want to go ahead and engrave this
So you're going to play. Feel free to play this back when I have my first real meltdown where the yaks are that terrible. But you know I told you that little joke that my cousin told.
Yes, right? It's a wonderful joke.
That I loved. And by the way, it's like every really great joke that I love, some people really dig it, and usually the fairer sex.
Yeah, it's not a joke that you would drop on a bunch of 20 somethings.
No, what you do is you know your audience.
Well, hold on, whoa.
Yeah, he took it in a different direction.
So I didn't see that coming. So you think you think it's an old man joke?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know 100%. What I think? I think that the 20 somethings, Mike, I don't think 20 somethings like
jokes. I'm being honest with you.
I don't think 20 somethings like jokes.
It's not a dad joke.
No, it's not. It's a fine joke.
It's not a dad joke.
But it's a sexist old man joke.
It's not a sexist joke.
It's not at all. What it is,
it's not really a sexist joke.
I'll tell you, I'm probably the one that works with that age group more than anyone else, and I have to watch my P's and Q's. I'm sure I get to come up with, why does the lady got to be doing the why can't the lady have no legs in the joke? You'd get this entire conversation about
what's right. Don't be telling my punchline now.
No, but I'm saying. I'm saying in general.
He gave a little window to the joke, didn't he?
Yeah, well, not really.
He told the joke on the show yesterday.
No, he told it after the show.
I told it after the show. I don't have Alzheimer's. You do.
I do.
Yeah,
spots on my brain.
But I will tell you this: I don't think the younger generation appreciates a good joke. You don't hear it from them.
But sexist is not something.
No, that's not sexist. You know what it was? It was off color. That's it.
It was probably
what's off color to you. Rob Spiewak.
Off color, that joke. You know what? Bad language, non-FCC friendly language.
Racism.
Racism is beyond off color. Okay. Racism is
racism.
Is not okay. And remember, if you think you might be, you are.
Oh, God. All right.
My
face hurts.
Let me tell you this.
In this show, I am not prepared to smile during
Let me tell you
show.
Something.
Ooh,
Mike, on the show Hee Haw, which got its start as a network program, but then worked on to a long syndicated run, there was two regulars named Riddle and Phelps.
There were two regulars. Your grammar is incorrect.
Okay, there was a pair. that was a regular feature called Riddle and Phelps, and they did what was called Eefing. And that involves like a body hand slap deal, almost like a ham bone, and then a peculiar noise that you make with your mouth. It's a very
spectacular
backwoodsy
sound.
It is.
A spectacular sound.
But what happened is in the 1960s, there was a soul artist named Joe Perkins who was able to couple it with what has got sort of a Memphis sound, and he had a modern hit record called Little Eefin' Annie. And it goes.
Little Eefin' Annie,
kind of a rap song.
She's my old man. Little Eefin' Annie has a terrible time. It don't make no difference what she tries to say.
How are the 20-somethings like this?
Annie love it.
It always come out this way.
I still haven't seen an episode of Hee Haw, even on reruns. When they come out.
Well, yeah. I got a girl named Annie, and she's my old man.
But still holds up. Great. Excited,
she has an awful time.
So this is actually Riddle and Phelps with the soul singer. He contracted them to make the song. Oh, here comes the break, Mike. Here we go.
Pick me up at 8.
Fabulous.
Well, I took Andy right.
Fabulous. That's Hee-haw, the only word I have for it.
The reason Oscar never saw Hee-haw is because he grew up in an age of cable TV. If you grew up in an age of four channels, Hee-haw was all you had Saturday nights at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, I mean, it truly was. And you just caught it. I mean, you... All right, that's enough. That'll be enough. Thank you.
I have a couple of Hee-haw DVDs, and I tell you what, that's a show that is not meant to be seen in high definition. Because when they've got old men that are sleeping in front of, I don't know, a gas station, or if you've got like Tanya Tucker singing in a haunted shack, you wonder why the ground is just painted blue. It's not.
This is true.
It's really surreal.
It's a backlot in Burbank.
Oh, worse than that. It was shot in Nashville.
Oh, it was shot in Nashville.
That's how they got all the good country acts, Mike.
Loom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Live this, whatever it is, something like that, right?
Feels good,
of course.
Sounds like this.
He has it. He's got the Hee Haw. Look at how excited he is. This is Hee Haw.
655 episodes.
Oh, it ran forever.
Holy smokes!
This is Hee Haw.
Now, Oscar, here will come a 44 joke.
44 minutes.
Here comes a joke. Ready?
I stand 6'8" when I'm completely unfurled. And to find a mate, I've looked all over this world. Then a store downtown advertised everything for us tall guys. And they had everything except tall girls.
That's so bad.
Really not
That's
even
so
funny at all.
Horrible.
And yet, it
all right,
ran
that's enough. Turn it off. I can't stand
years.
It now. I'm beginning to hate Hee Haw all over again.
Oh, well,
Hee Haw was the country version of Laugh-In, and it wasn't
exactly
funny.
Exactly. It was the country music, but it had good country music. If you like country music,
quite a run.
It had great talent. I mean, Roy Clark, fantastic guitar player.
Oh, and Buck Owens and the Buckaroos, the house band. Great
71
stuff.
To 82, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
71 to 19. It ran till 1982.
Sure. And before that, it had a network.
I graduated
run.
College
run.
Before it went off the air.
It was part of the legendary CBS decountrification when they canceled the Hillbillies and Green Acres and all that stuff because Paley, I think it was Bill Paley's wife, was at a party and they said, "Oh, you work for that Hillbilly network." and on that base, I mean, they had strong ratings, but he canceled all those shows. Petticoat Junction as well. He said, "I don't want any of that on the Tiffany Network."
But they were dumb shows. Too.
They were.
What did he can? I mean, Beverly Hillbillies was a stupid show.
Yeah, but it made a lot of money.
It made a lot of, well, that's what my grandmother used to say when it came to Lawrence Welk.
No, well,
say,
true.
I wanna ato, I thank you, boys. And I say, oh, my God, Graham, he's horrible.
But you know what?
Say,
you
yeah, but he makes a lot of money. Like, that's the American system, right? It's like, oh, what an idiot he is. Oh, that Epstein,
the thing is
what a pervert. Yeah, but he's got a lot of money.
Mm.
Right? If you look at the show Green Acres, though, it was just at that time in its fifth season getting to a really strange, almost surreal point. One of my favorite comedies because it made no sense at all. And it got... caught up in this, stupid Mrs.
Not,
Paley.
You weren't really discerning when it came to the magic box. There wasn't much you didn't love.
Box
when
raised
you were a
you.
Boy. When you,
I was yeah, the, raised
the
by
box
the box.
The box raised you,
yes.
Did it not?
Yes. Don't
the
speak.
Television raised you. How much television, when you were, say, 9,
yes.
did you watch?
1980.
You know what? Let's do this for a second.
All
this
right.
is going to be fun. Yeah. This is going to be big fun.
I want you, Rob Spiewak. Wait, let me get the right stuff for it. Just a second. All right. I want you, Rob Spiewak.
Right.
I want you to take a trip down memory lane.
Uh-huh. All right.
I want you to go way back. I want you to go way back in the Rob Spiewak memory banks. And I want you to imagine a summer day. We're in summer. This is a perfect discussion for this. Take us through and tell us what would a normal summer day for Rob Spiewak consist of when you were a small child.
Television. It really did. I mean, there would be occasional trips to the beach, and there was no TV at the beach, of course. But if you were at home, you weren't like, really.
You would wake up in the morning.
Yeah, we didn't. You know what? We didn't have the. We didn't have a pool membership, so I couldn't like go to the pool like some kids. So it would be.
Would you have gone if you had a membership?
I did. Well, we eventually did, and yeah, when we went
to the pool.
Yeah, okay.
Didn't you go with friends, maybe as a guest?
No, I didn't have a lot of friends.
But that's a little bit in the weeds. I'm asking for a normal day. So
I would wake up.
Don't just say television. I want detail.
All right, I would get up.
I want coming down in your jammies with the feet in them and sitting there. I want breakfast. I'd like to know when this personality was formed.
I would probably get up and then go. You see, you didn't have to come downstairs because our.
I'm glad you would get up.
Thank you.
Not that much detail. Broad strokes.
And the house was mostly on one level.
Broad strokes. I want detail.
Well, he's talking about taking a step down the stairs.
Because I'm imagining the house I lived in when I was seven. It was an ancient little baby house. If you
was
can
Dad
imagine.
Out of the picture yet?
No, Dad was still there.
Dad was still there.
Yeah,
okay,
Mom and Dad were faking it. It was working out. I take after him. So we.
Oh, no.
There used to be a thing in the Depression.
Yes.
It was called Sears Pre-Cut House. And you would call or write a letter to Sears and write them your check. And they would send you all the lumber for a house and you'd put it together.
Now, but your dad didn't put it together.
No, but this is the house we lived in. And it was
you lived in a prefab Sears house.
It was built in the 30s or maybe even the 20s. It was tiny. So it was all on one level, essentially. My bedroom was up like three steps. And then the kitchen was in the basement. So I had to come downstairs, maybe three steps, then down to the basement. And I'm thinking cereal and the cereal.
How far down would you have to go to the basement? Really, the basement?
Yeah, it was a full 13 steps down. I mean, it was a subterranean deal.
It was underground, your kitchen?
Well, the front of it was because we had a rear exit. The house, I guess,
was
built
into
a... The home was in McLean, Virginia.
Okay. So I get it. This is small. This is not a big place.
I'm talking small.
Rhode Island could beat the crap out of it in a war. I'm talking small. So you go down and then it's access to the outside.
To the access, or you can have the front door.
The driveway.
Right. And the cereal that I remember from my youth.
Would it have best been described as a split foyer?
No, not at all. This house, by the way, this house is many years gone. Been replaced by a mansion now because it's a very, very pricey district now. But it was
because you lived in the high rent district, which would go on to be the high rent district.
Exactly, but it wasn't then. It was so
okay.
As a matter of fact, the only room in the house that was spacious was the bathroom because that was originally a bedroom. Because this house was built when there were outhouses.
Mm.
That's how old this house was.
Wow.
We actually had in the backyard, one of the things I would play with when I go outside, we had a non-functioning, but the water pump from the days of old when you have to go
outside.
That's
kind of fun,
Yeah,
right?
It was great. It was cool. And there was
How often did you go outside? A couple of times a year?
When the weather was nice. Didn't like the heat. Didn't like the cold.
So summer was it. Didn't like the heat. Didn't like the So we'd see you go out to the water pump during springtime.
That's right, or fall. Maybe the fall.
Okay. All right, so you go down to breakfast.
Yeah, and the cereal I remember.
Do you remember what kind of PJs you wore? Now, I wouldn't remember that, so that's hard for me.
I remember Spider-Man or some sort of superhero-themed pajamas.
Cute little Rob.
Thank you. And maybe a Winnie the Pooh, actually, I'm thinking.
Okay. All right. Very good.
That voice again.
Very sweet.
Don't
bother. It looks like someone's going to be incarcerated.
All right. That was yesterday's show. Sorry.
Please keep up, people. And then go down to the kitchen, and the cereal I remember was Frankenberry. Loved Frankenberries.
Delightful cereal.
And
delightful
then
cereal.
Probably get the bowl of Frankenberries and then head back up to the living room where we
in
had
your jammies?
Yeah.
Okay.
And where we had a 19-inch, I believe it was a Zenith television. Color, full color, Mike. Beautiful.
Color TV. That's all you need.
And we had the rotating antenna, you know, where if you wanted to get a channel, you had to pull the remote out and hit it, and the antenna would spin to try to
figure. So your father and mom were modern. Into TV, too.
Well, yeah. Well, Dad loved electronics. Bob was a stereo head at that point.
Okay. All right. My dad was an audiophile, mm-hmm. too. He
had a beautiful
hi-fi.
Reel-to-reel deck and beautiful turntable.
Oh, so he was super into it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Dolby. So TV, it would be like breakfast and then into the living room?
Yeah. And then I'd have – and I seem to remember the days of Captain Kangaroo. I did watch Captain Kangaroo.
So you're just old enough to remember.
Yeah,
Captain
the tail end of it. He was sick at the time.
Captain Kangaroo.
Oh,
you
no.
never watched Captain Kangaroo.
No.
Bob Keeshan.
Yeah, he was on a ventilator when I watched.
My father was a friend of, this is a true story. My dad was a friend of Mr. Green Jeans.
Really?
Yes, they were pages at NBC together.
Oh, I didn't know that Page came up, that Green Jeans came up through the Page system.
He came up through the Page system.
Did he have the jeans
in the
then?
Day when my father was being, you know, groped by, no, it was.
Fred Waring touched your father.
When Fred Waring was touching him. But back in the day, oh, he'd smack me if he heard me say that. He'd be mad at me for saying that. But anyway, yeah, so it was Mr. Green Jeans. And then how much of, like, an average day, how much time would be spent in that room in front of the box?
Well, eventually, it got to after I would get up and get, and I remember there was a, at that time, sitcoms on in the morning, and I remember watching Dick Van Dyke a lot. I Love Lucy was always on. I love the black and white, even then, until, of course, 11 o'clock, and then you watch The Price is Right. And that's a rule. That's a solid. But by the time 11 o'clock, but by the time 11 o'clock rolled around, I probably had walked up the hill to my grandparents' house because Big Daddy's house was just up the street. And so the thing is that I was okay to be left alone at like second or third grade because my parents were working.
Mm-hmm.
But
there's a small chain in the living room attached to the sofa.
Excuse me. I could run. I could dig. It was great. The chain was long enough to go.
You'd be left alone in your house, and then you'd walk by yourself up there. Both of you guys were latchkey kids.
Yeah, but the reason is that it wasn't that I was required to have care. There was something always going on up there because you know the siblings were only 9 or 10 years older than me, so they were still at home. So there's always
farming,
stuff going.
There was farming.
There was farming. There was the vegetable stand. There was the stand to tend. There was farming.
So you'd hang out all day with the. So you did stuff out
there. Yeah, and there was TV on there too. I was probably one of the youngest viewers that followed the plot of All My Children because the stories were on in the afternoon.
And you'd watch.
Yeah, well, it was the modern day equivalent of the fireplace. You
was there a Mrs. Big Daddy? I never heard
grandmama.
Much about. Grandmama was there, and you don't hear much about grandma. She predeceased your grandma.
She died in 92, I think.
Okay.
I was still in college. Yeah, but she was very, very key in my raising as well. I just spent more time towards the end of the...
You watched the stories with her.
Yeah, we watched All My Children, and which is why I sort of had a jump on it when we used to watch it at WJFK.
Yeah, you knew, Asa Buchanan and all that.
Well, Asa was One Life to Live. Come on, Mike.
Sorry about that.
What you want to talk about is Erica Kane or Palmer Courtland or
very good. All right, thank you. And so then it would be when would you leave Big Daddy?
I'd stay there till about dinner. But you see, 3 o'clock is when General Hospital came on, and Grandmama didn't watch General Hospital, so then it was off to Channel 45 because their high proximity on the hill, they could pick up some of the Baltimore stations.
And what would you watch on Channel 45?
Oh, Channel 45 was Captain Chesapeake, and he would host between all the shows, and he would like, you know, 3 bells, time for the Munsters, or 5 bells, time for Lancelot Link, and so there was a rotating. But the beautiful thing about the Channel 45 is Captain Chesapeake hosted the shows, and he'd like show kids artwork and stuff. So that was a little more interactive. I liked
that. Is that the one?
Exactly. And he had a sea monster as a co-host that was a puppet. I think his name was Nessie. I don't know. Chessie. Maybe Chessie.
Are you getting a better picture of this now? Are you getting a better picture of of what formed our boy here?
You mentioned something at the beginning of this conversation,
which was
that you didn't have a lot of friends.
I didn't.
How did you not make friends?
What do you mean?
You seem very affable. I would imagine that they would.
Well, you know what? I did okay at school. Like, you know, I was not an outcast in school, but there weren't kids of my age on my block.
Okay.
And
the neighborhood.
And so it just, I always did better with older people.
Oh.
Kind of like your dad and Fred Waring.
I'm curious because you hang out with kids, contemporaries, I guess.
Yeah.
Your age or
how many years would you say this drill went? Like, how many summers do you think? This was the drill.
Well, until I was 16, because when I got my license, then, you know, you had the ability.
Your whole life.
Well, yeah.
All your formative years were the magic bomb. This is it, Oscar. We have the answer. This is where the pop culture comes from.
It got a little worse after fourth or fifth grade, because that's when we moved out to Vienna, and I was no longer walking distance from the house up the hill. So then there was even more time spent watching.
Because you would be left alone and that you had your four walls.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Were there more kids in Vienna?
Yeah, there were some, but they were mostly jerks. I didn't have anyone cool in my neighborhood.
No one was cool enough for you to hang out with.
Or maybe they were too cool.
Well, there's a little insight into your world. That's very, very cool.
And you know what? I don't think it's cool at all. As a matter of fact, upon revisiting, it's very sad.
Yes.
But
it's sad.
It has served me well in that the innate love of media brought me to where I am today. I mean, I was a fanatic radio listener by that time. It's what brought me to actually listening to you. And so that was very cool.
When was the first call you made? How old were you when you made your first call to the Don and Mike show?
Probably 14 or 15, because you start, I mean, it goes way back. I remember when you guys signed on in the morning. I remember the first show.
You've known me for a long time.
Oh, Mike, I've been with you longer than all your wives put together.
That's the start of the show. No more for that.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Looking for luxury? Then look no further. Come to the Butterfield International Hotel. The perfect destination for your short break, business trip, or romantic weekend.
He kept referring to it as his hotel, but really it was just his office. One of the pillows was made of printer paper.
Good point. The pillows are uncomfortable, and I'm required to tell you that they contravene European safety regulations. When you stay at the Butterfield International Hotel, I can promise you a prince-size bed, tea-making facilities, two drawers, and a front door key. But you must promise me one thing, that you'll remind me to charge you for your stay. I keep forgetting, and it's costing me money.
I asked for a wake-up call at 6:30 in the morning. Instead, bailiffs woke me at 8.
I was going to wake him, but the bailiffs had been round to my house the day before and repossessed my alarm clock, amongst other items. But don't worry, it won't happen again.
The advert said it was a 5-star hotel, but 5-star hotels should have a toilet.
Those aren't stars. They're asterisks, each one referring to a fault with the hotel, one of which is the lack of toilet facilities. The Butterfield International Hotel. Call now.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his settee, here's Mike.
Before we get to the mailbag, the refrigerator in Podcast Village. Podcast Village, a state-of-the-art facility that is going strong with people coming in and doing their recording. We are a centerpiece, the Mike O'Mara Show, of Podcast Village. It is a thriving enterprise.
Oh, yeah.
It is Oscar's 43rd business that he is involved with.
Out of necessity and love and passion for this industry.
It is spectacular.
It pays Rob Spiewak as well.
It does.
Yes, separately.
It is a wonderful facility. However,
he's such a wonderful guy.
It came to my attention
today.
But not
even the best guy in this room. No, I got to tell you that.
It's Pony.
It came to my attention that the refrigerator that was one of the original pieces of equipment at Podcast Village is really not matched up with some of the wonderful, sleek technology we have in the facility.
Well, I will say this. It is a beautiful piece of furniture.
Don't backtrack.
No, I'm telling you the truth, and I said this to Mike. It's gorgeous.
Yes.
Glass.
It's not furniture. It's a beautiful appliance.
It's an appliance. But you know what? To me, it's almost a piece of furniture because it's that lovely.
You guys were more gleaming excited about stainless that than steel. Anything. That was the first thing that came in before the Podcast Village was even built. We got that refrigerator. Mm-hmm.
Huge. It is a restaurant-quality glass front refrigerator, and it just kicks ass. However, it's a trifle noisy. It hums. It groans.
When something is making noise anywhere, in your home, at work, do you ever try to address it?
I do. Yeah. I keep telling you to shut up.
I tried to. If something is making a racket, it's either repaired or replaced. I mean, you repair
it. Yeah, but
it,
I'm just saying, do you? Yeah, okay, that's fair. So we had an issue with the compressor on the refrigerator. And
I did not know that. I thought it just ran loud.
No.
Oscar, what I'm doing, the project I'm working on up here at O'Mara North is what I'm trying to
Gull Cottage.
Right now I am I'm trying to tackle my shutters on my home. I'm trying to tackle my plastic shutters on my home and trying to renew them with a Rust-Oleum product that I got through Amazon. That I was halfway through before I realized that I kind of blew off the fact that they included these gloves with the solvent.
Yes.
And I was putting the solvent on with my bare hands. And I didn't realize until I felt a little tingly that perhaps putting the solvent on. Well, let me put it to you this way. I no longer have any fingertips.
Oh, my God. You're like Dark Man.
That's
you could
that's
really go pull a bank job right now.
Yeah.
Mike, you know what's.
But I'm very handy. I'm trying to. They're oxidized, and I'm trying to bring them back and restore them so I don't have to buy.
I've done what you've done with shutters.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's a pain in the butt, but you do have to strip them first.
Yeah.
You have to
at least wash them very thoroughly. And I was
are
doing
this.
Are
you removing them before you do this? Or are you trying to do that?
You don't have to if you wash them properly.
Here's them.
I removed them as a test. I have two shutters that are test cases. So yes, I did remove those shutters, but
don't get on
the YouTube. The YouTube videos have said if you do it properly and you get to the shutters and you clean them properly, you apply it with a rag. So there's no need to really even remove the shutters.
Because I was thinking that if you remove the shutters, a power washer might be your first step. That would be the fastest way to get
them. You can actually just give them a good scrubbing, and you give them a good shaking. That'll take care of it.
Give them a good shake.
That's Napoleon Dynamite. Uh-huh. I don't know what's wrong with me today. But I put the stuff on, and why did I start talking about?
We're talking
handy.
About fixing.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so
I'm trying to fix stuff.
A handyman goes like your wife.
Yes.
Rob goes and tries to fix something.
Handy woman.
Yes, but she's your handyman.
Yes,
So
I know the point you're trying to get to. The point you're trying to get to is that Rob would complain about the hum and never make any effort
to say anything to somebody. Be like, "Hey, I heard that hum," and I can say, "Hey, there's a compressor issue. We're trying to fix that. We're working on it."
How long do you think you would go if no one called you on it? You would go forever. It would bother you, but you wouldn't do anything about
because it is not a home unit. I assumed it was just a noisy model. I didn't know there was anything wrong with it.
But I could see you're the type of person that walks around life and is like, "Hey, that refrigerator, well worth the money." I walk out.
I love when he does impressions.
Are you taking it personally that he's complaining about the noise
mustn't.
Of the refrigerator?
I am, because I was, quite frankly, I guess what annoys me about your statement is if you would have said, "I wonder where that noise is coming from," and touched the front of the grate at the bottom, while that is an issue we're trying to fix.
It's the fan.
It's not even the compressor anymore, because we've had that fixed.
Right.
It's the front grate, the grill on the bottom.
Rattles?
Yeah.
It needs to be tightened. And once it's tightened, it'll be over. So if he would have touched the grill at the bottom, it would have gone away.
So if you go out to that refrigerator unit right now,
right now,
and you go out there and
you push it just a little bit,
and you press it in a little bit, it will not be vibrating, and it won't make the
What does it require to be tightened? Just a Phillips head, or is there a special bracket?
It's an Allen key or whatever.
I will bring an Allen wrench tomorrow.
We have one. We just need to get to it. It's on the list.
All right.
So we'll be updated tomorrow on the noisy refrigerator.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. But I guess the my frustration is, you know, instead of just bitching about things, try to do something about it.
Oh, there you go. Okay, I understand.
Fair?
I understand.
Not sure I was bitching, just commenting.
Yeah, but it's the same. I know you, Rob. I've known you for 8 years. It's like, that refrigerator's working overtime, keeping things cool, making a lot of noise in a podcast studio.
Studio.
Rob, before the show, we were talking about it. I can kind of understand it because I have seen that refrigerator.
Yes.
In the one time during the decade that we've been in D.C.
That's right.
I visited the studio. I have to say that
it was a great day.
You were thinking maybe it was inappropriate for the room. That
no,
all the,
far from all it. The, I thought
well,
it was.
Well, no, you said we've got these wonderful Mac computers out there, these editing computers that we have that are state of the art, and then we got this clunky refrigerator.
That's that, huh? kind
of no. I said that it's just sort of an Mike. Odd counterpoint that it would be such a large, noisy refrigerator. I never thought.
Well, don't walk it back. What you were. You were saying that it didn't fit out there. That's what I got. I'm not up there, so I don't know. I mean, that's why, and I'm
be
not trying
man,
to throw you under the
be
bus.
A man, tell me what you told the boss.
I said that the refrigerator is sort of an odd comparison in the same room as
and
four
state of the art.
Your brother
video. Pony was your brother Pony was kind of a like minded, right? Pony, didn't you feel that the refrigerator really was kind of
Pony is stepping up right now. Pony, did you feel that the refrigerator is inappropriate to the room?
I think it's fine. It's a little noisy for an editing room, but
God, they walk.
I mean, it's beautiful.
They're so scared.
God, it's like I'm dealing with dueling Trumps.
Just,
I mean, come on now.
Tell me how you feel.
You want to know exactly how I feel? I love the refrigerator.
Yes,
it's noisy. The noise doesn't necessarily bother me.
But you also said it would be more appropriate to get rid of that one and have like a smaller unit.
No, I said that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, we're getting a new. I would say set built in the front.
Right.
That'll have a new refrigerator. That.
So I knew that the refrigerator, actually, Oscar
what do you
and
mean
I have
a set like a video set. What's,
yeah.
What, really?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oscar and I have actually talked
I'm
about.
I'm not up there, guys. I don't know what's going on.
Well, Mike, if you come more than once every 3 years, you know
not
a little bit
happen.
More what's
so
going
anyway,
on.
So anyway,
we've actually
not,
looked
not,
into
not
the.
Gonna happen.
We've looked
flying
into
over.
The value.
You drive
flying
through town.
Flying over. I plan to fly over and go, hello down there. Hello, D.C. and Northern Virginia.
To be fair, we have a circumference road that goes around the city.
Yes.
He probably won't be driving through the city.
Half a moon of the Beltway will get him past us.
We have researched down. the possibility of the sale of that refrigerator for when it is replaced. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm kind
does
of in
it
on it.
Does it make sense to dog the refrigerator before we're trying to sell it?
It does not make sense.
Okay, just that. Just.
Well, but I also didn't think that I was going to be selling it to Mike, so I didn't know it was going to come up during the show.
Do you
I
think you can
you
tell Mike anything before the show or any of us and we won't ever talk about it on
you,
the air?
I thought you loved the refrigerator,
we do.
Boys.
We just need to. We're so busy, we need another edit station.
We had listeners like bringing beverages
Mike,
in.
Mike, there's going to be another fridge. Don't worry. We're still going to have
a fridge. Is there still booze in the refrigerator?
Absolutely.
Booze for days.
Oh, we could use more.
Yes.
See, I think that's super cool.
We have not only soft alcoholic beverages like your hard seltzer and your beers, but we also have around the building, there is some hard liquor just in case.
Yeah, oh, there's like some stashed in closets and stuff. Like an alcoholic.
Yeah,
it's
like an alcoholic Easter
that's
egg.
Such a wonderful
it's in a
place.
Cabinet, not alcoholic situation. A cabinet is where you put alcohol.
I find hard liquor.
Like Mad Men, like in the 60s, where
it's
like, come on.
It's a classy cabinet. Yes.
When I met Charlie. Yes. You know, it was wonderful that you and I had a meeting with Charlie, and then you and I cracked open a beer after the very nice meeting with the nice meeting we had with what was that?
Charlie Birdie. Okay.
Thank you, Charlie. Thank you, Charlie Birdie.
I didn't know he was up in Maine with you.
Yes, yeah, Charlie's
great.
Here. Charlie's here. You want me to bring him back in a second?
Yeah, well, I have a question for him.
Please.
Charlie, you got to get on the microphone, buddy.
What?
Get on the microphone.
Hello, how are you?
Not so close. Give it a little space.
Give what a little space?
Between your mouth and the microphone.
Hello, Rob.
A little closer.
Hello, Rob.
That's good. That sounds good. How have you been? How's your summer?
Charlie Birdie.
I'm going to ask him about the shutters.
I'm happy this is all brought up. Because we're surrounded by enemies is what we are.
It's an Appalachian speak there. He left out of here. He left out of here.
Charlie Birdie is a good guy.
The best.
I love Charlie Birdie.
You know who will stab you in the back at any moment? And Mike, thank you for clarifying today. You're mi amigo, my friend, my confidant. It's Spiewak and Ponyboy.
Yeah.
You know who's coming into town this week? And I haven't even told anybody. And he'll be... sitting in here the whole show.
Who?
Jim Amato. Nice man.
That's right.
A nice man.
Jim Amato's going to come in
talented.
And panel.
He took off, I think, Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. He'll be here.
He's going to panel with us?
He can do whatever he wants for all the
That's
work he's
wonderful.
Done.
That's wonderful. That's
I can't wait till he comes.
Rob, what are
and
you
shows us
what? I'm
the
waiting
respect
to, I'm,
and just appreciation.
At me, I'm just waiting to see what direction he's going to take.
Rob might be threatened by Jim Amato.
Yeah.
That Rob gave me the threatened face.
No, it's not. I was waiting to see what direction Oscar was going to go with this.
Okay. For one thing, Jim said he's going to bring stuff for the fridge.
Are we?
Oh, you mean the really loud fridge?
Yes. And then I was like, man, I wonder when that last time Rob brought stuff for the fridge and just didn't take. Weird.
That is weird, isn't
weird,
it? Weird.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. This show is so all over the place. We have to take a break.
The best of O'Mara.
Let's open a door now and visit with someone we haven't checked in with lately. It's Rob's World, ladies and gentlemen, to find out what's happening in the world, Rob, because you said there was something going on you wished to bring to the show today. Take it away, Mr. Spiewak.
Well, you know we get interns from all colleges all across the country. This is true. We actually list our internships at over 200 colleges.
But over the years, it's expanded a lot more. We have more people popping in, and we love that. It's great.
But most of our interns historically have come from George Mason University based on its proximity to the station. It's our podcast village. They're right in Fairfax, Virginia. And one of the reasons we get so many from Mason is that the guy that runs the radio studies there, Roger Smith, allows me to come in once a semester and talk to his classes, which is always fun. And I think he enjoys not having to teach that day. So we go in and, you know, and I talk about what we do here and explain how the internship is very valuable.
Big win.
How it was my start in radio, and you too can be.
It's kind of a backhanded compliment you just gave him, really. I mean, and he enjoys not having to teach.
It was a joke. It was a joke.
They're friends. They're friends.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he calls me a couple months ago and he says.
Friends like that, who needs enemies?
He says over the summer.
We don't build up, Mike. We tear down.
He teaches, But the building up is the part we enjoy. The tearing down
basically
is necessary.
Saying, hey, our intern program is great from George Mason because the teacher's lazy.
Lazy bones.
Okay, go ahead.
So he says, I do a radio camp for youngsters over the summer. Would it be possible for them to come by Podcast Village and see what you talk about? I said, absolutely. So we picked 2 days and next Wednesday, he'll come in again, but he brought in 8 kids, I believe, this past Wednesday, and it was very, very cool. Now, one thing is—
You make it sound like they're 8. They're college students.
No,
correct?
They're kids.
They're children.
Yeah. They range from age 9 to 14.
Yeah.
Oh, that's even better. That's fun, and they're interested in radio.
All of them are in this radio camp. I said, what have you done so far this week? They said— We all made our own podcast. I said, Jesus Christ, everybody has a podcast.
That's wonderful.
It's so
that's
early.
Terrific.
The exposure is priceless.
Yeah. I mean, it's
they
so
must be wide-eyed when they see our facility because it is pretty impressive.
They marveled at it. And you know what? What's great is Roger from GMU. He's a radio guy, too, from way back. So he loves seeing the facility and what we've done. And especially with the addition of what we call Studio C, where Angie Goff does her video podcast. It's literally gorgeous. It looks like the set of The View. And so when you bring these kids in here and you show them the high-def video cameras and all the ways that we can hook up in the three studios with three different looks and the
Would it be possible to get a roving camera one day on this show and take a little video tour of Podcast
Village? We actually had a great conversation last week, Mike, because somebody said, when is Mike coming through? And I said, I don't know. I'm hoping in calendar year 2019 because we have some options.
And when they said coming through, it was in quotation marks because they meant actually like going to the other side.
And I said,
passing through, passing away.
And somebody said we should have a full marketing video of all of these studios. We've been so busy.
Can you imagine can you imagine doing like the Jackie Kennedy tour? Of the studios like they did at the White House in 1960?
This room over here is where Charlie Burney runs his empire. These $10,000 windows were bought by... All right, yeah, I understand. That's an
I
old
know exactly what you're
right. A gift from the Duke and Duchess?
Yes. This football that has come crashing through the $10,000. Oh, that's a great bit. That bit still is funny.
You may hear it on Monday. Speaking of which, but it was nice to have those youngsters come in here. And I have to also, I mean, everybody is so supportive of.
Didn't you have a question and answer segment?
Yeah, it was great.
Okay.
But before that, I have to thank Charlie Burney, who is the grand poobah of Podcast Village, who is so, he embraces the kids coming in.
I hate
in.
It.
Oscar walked through the tour group, literally between me and the children. I said, "Hey, here's one of our founders. This is Oscar Santa."
Yeah. Hey, glad to see you. Glad to see you.
I said, "Listen, this whatever this man tells you." I literally kept walking.
Yeah, his
sport
jacket.
Do you show them the refrigerator?
I did. I said, of course you and do. One of the greatest the questions, little kids, 9 years old, why is there so much beer in the refrigerator? and I look at Roger, who's on the tour with us, and his eyes are way up and to the right at that point. And I say,
right.
Well, you know, I will be perfectly honest with you, young guys, is that sometimes when people come here, usually as guests on shows, they're a little nervous. And sometimes if they have something to drink, it calms them down. And you'll find this out you're 21.
A true alcoholic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, really, like that's normal. Like talking about what they used to do on The Tonight Show 40 years ago.
So
we get the guests drunk, kids, and that's what you should do.
I never said drunk. I just said take the edge off. And I said,
you take the edge off to a 9-year-old?
Well, some of them are.
The 9-year-old does it. You're a mutton head. You're a mallet head.
Some of them are 14.
You are a mallet head. You are, yeah. But what we do is we have a little cocktail before they roll in.
Sometimes there are cocktail parties here in the evening after a broadcast.
Yeah, they have grown-up parties. Yes. We have grown-up parties afterwards. Now,
why would you
every
lie?
Now and
don't
then,
lie to
a
the
nervous
children.
Guest who might also be on amphetamines needs to take the edge off from his speed high of the day. So we load him up with alcohol so he can slur.
Actually, you know, it's funny you mentioned it. You did mention Johnny Carson, and I mentioned that, and they said, "Who's Johnny Carson?" I said, "The Tonight Show." They said, "You mean Jimmy Fallon?" I said, "Yeah, two guests ago, yes, but yes, I mean Jimmy Fallon.
Two hosts ago, But that might have not been the way to...
Well, you know what?
In the future, you live and learn.
I raise my children in a world of honesty, and that's one of the reasons we do have the beers.
And they live in the same bubble that you live in. There's a tiny little impenetrable bubble where you don't know where Montreal is. We have to take a break. I'm sorry. Congratulations to my beautiful daughter, Elizabeth, and graduating from with a Bachelor of Arts degree from the University of Mary, Washington.
How great was that? How great was that ceremony?
The best part was at dinner when she informed me that she has scored an archaeological job right out of school.
Employment?
And,
get out, really?
She is employed. Yes, she
That's
is employed.
That's awesome.
So I am thrilled, and she's going to be working in her field, which is very, very exciting for somebody that age. And and Catherine is came down from New York, my other daughter, and she missed her first bus coming in from New York City to Washington, D.C., but she was there, so I had the whole family out there for dinner, including the new boyfriend.
How was
at
that?
At the Peking Gourmet. It was wonderful. I had the Peking Gourmet restaurant, which we know and love. I don't think the owners were on campus, and... Rob, as much as we have sung the praises of that joint for years and years and years, it was fine.
Oh,
it was just fine.
An off night? Wow.
Food was still great. Food is always great there. It was. It just was, it's where she wanted to go. And, it was just.
It's in a strip mall.
Yeah, it was.
Don't give Oscar this win. This is what this is. This is an aberration. It's one off night. It's still great. And Oscar, just because it's in a strip mall, doesn't take away from the fact that it's fantastic.
Their food was coming out. It was just the attention to, a table of five.
Yes.
Might have been a little slow.
Could have tweaked it.
Could have tweaked it a little bit. And it was. But our pictures are still up on the wall there.
That's good.
Cool.
That's good.
Pictures of us and people that we worked with and didn't work with. And
it's like a history lesson.
So it really is, and it's nice that we're still up there. The food was good, but it just was a little frenetic.
Yeah,
is the way I would describe it inside that joint. And
packed, I'm sure.
Crazy, but great to see the. I really enjoyed the company of the new beau.
Mm-hmm.
He was respectful. He answered all the questions. And
is he a good eater?
He was new to a lot of this, but he wasn't a pig.
Okay,
you know,
good,
he wasn't
good,
like
good.
Shoveling it in. Mm-hmm. But he liked all the food. And the thing that I truly enjoyed was he was. You know, when you meet a kid and they're kind of nervous and they want to make sure they're saying the right things, right? He was, he did that, which I just think that's a sign of respect, and I kind of like
he's
that.
He's trying.
Oh, yeah.
And he's
you
trying.
Love that.
He cares. He wasn't faking anything. He was being himself, and then he kind of laughed at my shtick a little bit, and of course, that's the he wasn't doing it to manipulate. He was doing it because he really did.
Anyway,
he laughed at a couple of things, because I was just chilling, and...
But that also encourages you to go a little further with your shtick.
You know, though, can I say this? The volcano drink...
Yes, the flaming volcano.
Do you remember when we had those the first time? And yeah. What would be the primary quality of the volcano drink?
The fact that it is so lousy with rum that it gets you drunk fast.
Thank you. And it wasn't. Not even remotely.
Really?
Snap.
There you go.
So, oh, no.
Oscar's making me laugh.
Things have changed.
Yeah. It was kind of like super, or, super
meanwhile,
sweet.
Oscar like, loves every chicken tender that he ever gets.
Did I call this years ago or did I call this?
Are you now what? What did he call?
Always tried to diminish the quality of that restaurant based on, I think, its location in Falls Church, which I think he has a sort of snooty attitude towards.
It's a horrible location.
And also its location within Falls Church in the Culmore Shopping Center.
Okay, this is a problem. You are both to blame because you built this place up like for years before I ever went.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I remember throwing something nice on and saying, we're going to the Peking Gourmet. And I pulled into that shopping center and I said,
oh, here we go.
This must be a mistake because the big screen store is right to the left. And to the right seems to be some bombed out lottery establishment.
If you want some off-brand batteries, you can pick them up there.
Wait a second. Oh, that door is the restaurant. Excuse me.
Yeah. Now, do you immediately see the pictures of presidents, though, on the wall?
Yeah, and they're fading fast, let me tell you. Because those guys, some of them aren't around anymore.
This is true. Well, that's like any old establishment. Yeah, that's true. Very true.
They still have an amazing clientele. The food is still amazing. And the thing is that Oscar has...
The food is still very, very good. We did a prefix menu.
Oh, did you do the one?
We got a duck.
Courses?
We got the beef thing, and
oh,
we
that's
got
the best
the
way to go.
Thing.
That's the best way to go.
That was that was fine, and then a chicken dish that was not good. You know,
the one with a lot of sprouts in it.
Yeah. It's kind of bland.
Yeah, it is.
I guess for people that like bland food,
what happened?
Oscar would probably like that.
What happened with the volcano?
We both Elizabeth and her Scab boyfriend picker. Ordered one, and Carl and I ordered one, and I took a sip of this, and I'm like, God, it's like fruit juice. It's like it's all. Ooh. It's all. Which is the first sign of
a
place?
It should burn.
They're
going
watering
down.
The booze down.
Oh, yeah.
Come on now.
Oh dear.
Oh dear.
Like almost undrinkable.
Oh wow.
Because it was just sugary, syrupy, sweet.
This is a big soda.
Yeah. Did Catherine like hers?
Elizabeth.
Oh, Elizabeth, forgive me. And they shared one. Did they?
And then we decided we order a round of another sweet drink, mojitos, and then they were sugary and watered.
Oh. Damn!
So, the O'Maras are a drinking family, for God's sake.
That's not where you impress them. Don't water the booze.
But you know what? It was great to be with my family, and it was great to meet the boyfriend. He laughed at my shtick.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't do it like a lot. I just, there were a couple of moments where it was just funny.
Like what?
I don't remember.
Okay.
But it was Jason was our waiter.
Jason?
Like no Jason you'll ever meet. But it was...
I get that.
And I said, I think I should know, because he's an old guy, right? An older guy. And I said,
sure.
Boy, I tell you, this place has been around here. Jason, how long have you worked here? He said, 3 months.
Mm. Oh, okay.
And I'm just like, okay. So, you know, I mean, it just was that kind of, it was that, you know, little bit of, are they completely, no, the food is still good.
I wish you had called me so I could have called ahead for you and made sure you gotten one of the great waiters.
You can do that. You can actually. You don't do that.
But what happened is when you call and you call
never
Bobby.
Select a weather. You wouldn't be able to remember any waiter you've ever had.
Bobby
Pang.
Who's the waiter that we had in the back?
Pang.
Where we had the group thing.
It was Pang.
No, there was another guy because he had a funny name that we made fun of.
D-A-T. Dat.
There is a dat too. Yes, yeah, there is a dat as well.
Remember, was it Yoo-Hoo or something like that? Or
I don't remember. But what happened is if I were to call Bobby, who runs the joint, and tell him that you were coming, they would have made way and made sure you had a perfect night.
Well, no, it was fine. It was fine. It just was, you know, it was not what I remember.
Right.
It was not what I remember.
Or has your palate evolved?
It would be
devolved. I think I might be used to a different rhythm down here. I think I might be used to a little bit of a
like
different
rhythm. Like
the rhythm
of service?
Here. The old people don't tolerate anything other than, you know, it's a
rhythm.
But you know what? The most important thing is that it was great to be with my family.
Mm-hmm.
And I always talk about the rhythm down here.
Yeah.
The rhythm up there is different. It's a different world.
It's hostile. You know?
There is definite hostility.
Yeah, let
me give you the good.
Rhythm.
I'm going to give you the good. Okay. The good was my daughters graduating. seeing you guys, seeing our intern girl, and hanging out with Todd and Marissa and
Jimmy,
and seeing Rob's his son and his son's friend. What was his name? His
Aiden,
son's friend.
By the way, Aiden's father is dripping with jealousy because of the picture you took with Aiden. So, Mr. O'Malley.
O'Malley! Mayor O'Malley?
Yes, Mayor Aiden O'Malley. He's a big fan from
Rob
way back.
Did not want to stay, so he did his move where he brings his kids so he can extricate himself from,
from
the... well, that's true. I mean, I accept that. I've done that before. You know, I've done that when
I'm not in a place where I want to leave Robert at home alone.
What's that?
I'm not in a place where I want to leave Robert at home alone.
Okay. Oh, good, right. good call.
All right, so you want him to be supervised.
Just, you know, at the ready.
You come with Papa Kid, get in the car.
That's right. Come on, we're going to get wings.
Was he okay with coming? Okay with coming?
He said, can I get wings? I said, of course you can get wings. So I stuck him in the corner, and he stayed for 2 hours. No, he's pleased. Yeah. Easy boy.
Poor kid.
Yeah.
We would have liked to have you hang.
Yeah, he's gone. Rob.
Well,
do you want another? Oh, he's gone. Rob.
Yeah, it's like Rob. Basically, Rob's contribution to the U was like, "Hey, how you doing, Rob? Good to see you." And he was out the other. No, it wasn't that bad. You were there for a good long time.
I had a good time. It was fun to see you.
We took some sweet pics.
Yes, we did.
I saw those online. Wonderful.
We had a business meeting. We had a business meeting in the bar, which was cool. We don't really. When's the last time the three of us, like in person, sat down and did that? That was kind of
a long time.
It's a different energy.
And we had some good one-on-one time too. I mean, it was a good visit.
Yes.
It was great to see you guys.
It was a good visit. My apologies to Girl with her wedding party for not hanging in the room. I didn't know anybody besides Girl, and I didn't feel comfortable in that room. And that's why when Oscar saw me, I was sitting at the corner of the bar with
him. I was like, did it not start yet?
Right. Right. Then I saw the optimistic fatalist Jimmy. This is Jimmy. Jimmy was so excited to show us where his floor had caved in down on the lower level.
Oh, another sinkhole in DC. Terrific.
Oh, no.
Did he ever get you down to the bottom level? You know, the bottom level where we all cut a rug down
Sure.
We
all
stood
in front of the
like
DC.
Another party going on.
We've played Jeopardy down there.
Yeah. Sure.
That's where we've hung in previous incarnations. Jimmy was showing me, Jimmy seemed to be a little overworked. Which
I think that
it was
a busy Saturday plus the party. That's a big day for him.
Three private parties.
Wow.
He had three private parties there. Yeah, but
I'm glad there was no bloodshed, but I thought there might have been when Oscar was inviting you to join in on the toast, which was a great grand moment.
All right, that's a good time to break.
Yes.
That's when the Jack Daniels had finally started to get to Oscar's cerebral cortex.
Yes.
And he's literally physically pushing me up when they're cutting the cake.
And it was, the room was thick with people.
So, getting back to seeing everybody at Jimmy's, it was just a good day all the way around. The entire weekend worked out really well for Carla and for me, and it was good seeing. It's closure for me with that family my ex-wife's family, and it was really good to see everybody. We don't we do not have the kind of relationship that I think some people do that I've always been a little envious of, where you get a lot of contact between an ex-wife's family and we don't have that, but we do have civility and courtesy and niceness and friendliness and hugs and handshakes and everything I see them, and so that feels really, really good. And I wanted to thank my ex-wife Laura and her husband Jim for the co-parenting and the wonderful job they have done with both Catherine and Elizabeth. And I'm very, very grateful that Jim came into her life and that he's been such a wonderful father to my daughters as well. So that's a really, really good situation. It was good to see my ex-brother-in-law, Lou, and Laura's sister, Emily, and we got a chance to chat with them a little bit as well. And then when you're all standing there, it's just not, I have now, this is the second graduation I've gone to, and my drill is I get them on Friday night, that's all me and them, and then I come to the graduation, we take a couple of photos, and I'm out of there. And it's fantastic. Oh,
and the weather was okay, because I know it was
the
dicey.
The weather broke. The weather broke for the graduation, and it was really, really terrific. I won't go into the details on the commencement speaker, but to the president of the University of Mary Washington, she was very competent, very nice, I'd like to see more A-listers, but then, you know, I'm not there. And, so that's all there is to
it. Did they even look at your tape?
I said to myself, man, I was talking to Oscar about this. I said,
You were heated. You were heated about the commencement speaker.
Man, you know, I think Rodney Dangerfield proved to us in the movie Back to School.
Great movie, you know,
entertainment is, stay home, move back with your parents. I think that here's the great thing about the speaker. It was brief, which is wonderful.
That's a blessing.
And they motored through these 1,200, I think something like 1,200 kids, and they just, they blasted through it. And it was fine. Everything was fine. It's just anytime I see anyone on the stage, because I'm a performer, I truly think that, God, I'd love to have that opportunity. I would love to have the opportunity to do a college commencement, but that'll never happen now. Because both my, if they wheel me up to for my sons.
Yeah.
And if you have them.
4 score and 7 years ago.
And if you make that huge contribution, to get them into USC.
That's not going to happen.
Let me ask you this, and I know you won't go into detail. You did say something along the lines at Jimmy's briefly. You said, it's not like this is not the most powerful city in the world. I'm sure they could have found some sort of secretary that had a Saturday off.
Yeah. You might have mentioned that to me as well.
I was, it's just noticed.
By secretary, don't mean administrative assistant. We mean like somebody with some juice.
She's out of there. She got the diploma.
It was top of
mind. I'm not doing any damage. Yeah. It's a wonderful university. You know that.
Sure.
I'm going to give you the, I'm going to.
Yes?
I give the, Elizabeth texts me during the service.
Okay.
That's
what I wouldn't think you could do. That's so funny that you can do that. Yeah, you can connect during the ceremony. Yeah.
All right. So we got there at about 8:30-ish and all the seats are taken. That's, I'm not going to be one of these dads again that gets there. I couldn't see her. I couldn't see Catherine when I was there sitting in the back seat. So it didn't matter to me if I didn't get a seat. So let me see.
What time was the ceremony supposed to start?
9:00. We go inside one of the university buildings and I'm watching it on a closed circuit.
Okay.
And then I'm going to move down to where they take the pictures when right about the time her name is called.
When she walks.
So I can get a picture of her. All right. And I said, love you and so proud of you. And in capital letters, you're employed! exclamation mark. And then she goes, ha ha ha, yes, love you too. She says, also, this is when the commencement speakers are, also, what is this speech? And then I mentioned the title of the commencement person, and I don't care if I say it. Right?
No, who cares? Right?
She's already got her piece of paper.
I said a museum communications director. Really? I said, I guess all the contestants from Survivor were booked. And she goes, and she writes back to me, ha, ha, ha. So, and then she said, go to the bell tower. So that was it. But it's just like.
I hope go to the bell tower wasn't something that was auto-corrected. Because it could have been.
Oh, yeah.
It was fine. It was fine.
It was fine.
Man, efficient. And bing, bang, boom. And then the pictures. And then we're out of there. And it's off to. One little stop for lunch before we made it to Jimmy's, and we went to Route 28 in Manassas, and I went to see my next door neighbor, Richard and Nancy. Richard wasn't there. Nancy was there.
Oh, that's
and,
nice.
And we visited with Nancy. I've done that now 3 times. So
that's, how does the old house look?
The old house looks fantastic.
Great.
And it's just nice to drive by and to see Manassas and how Old Town Manassas has changed. And I see they built a big. Condo, a new condo right there, which is interesting. And other than that, nice to see it. It stays the same.
Law's Auction House still there?
Do you? I was just in Manassas like 2 weeks ago, and I had
it's good.
I
pleasure trip.
Well, no, I wish. they have a lot of industrial parks in Manassas,
sure.
So that allows you to pick up glass, different types of materials,
automotive parts.
And I remember driving down. I said, "Man, that Llantas Usadas got a new sign, and the new sign consists. And this is the first one you see out of the four going down 28 if you're heading into Manassas.
Mm-hmm.
And the new sign consisted of yet another piece of plywood and paint.
Yeah,
yes.
I really do. I love our studio here. But I really do miss that trip through that corridor every day.
Oh,
because there was
imagine.
There was always something to see, whether it was something new at the fortune tellers or maybe a new headstone in front of the two places
now, somebody
where you
was
could
talking
buy
about
headstones.
Your area. Your area apparently is like developing like a weed. Like they can't put enough of these like these developments that all the houses look the same. Like every they're just putting them further.
Well, luckily, when I moved in, my area was already cubically full, so we're in a lockdown situation. But if you go further out, there's much building going on.
They're just like putting them in. That's what they do every day.
Yep.
So we stopped by, saw the house, did a little driving tour through the city, and then it was to Guapo's, the chicken place, the Peruvian chicken
an
restaurant. Is it Peruvian? Is it Peruvian chicken?
I believe that's right.
It's Peruvian chicken and the best Tres Leches cake you will ever have in your life at Guapo's. However, the side effect of Guapo's that Carl and I both discussed was we were burping from the moment we drove out of the parking lot until 2 o'clock the next morning.
And richly flavored burps.
It was, I mean, really, I'm talking to people constantly just going, purr, 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 purr. Hi, girl. Nice to see your fiance, your new husband. Purr,
purr, purr. And family.
But it was the family. Yeah, met the mom, the dad. I think one of the moms, one of the dads.
I think they're still together, right? I think we met.
I thought
them,
so. I met the mom, parents. I know. Yeah.
It's not clear. Wasn't clear to me.
It was vague.
Was it vague for you too?
A little vague. I met the mom and she was very, very pleasant. I spoke highly of the girl, but I did not meet her father.
I met a guy that I think was a father.
In a suit?
I don't know.
In
mustache?
A gray suit?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, gray suit.
Yeah, I heard that he had a mustache. This is what I heard.
And then it was time for a little toast. Do I have to break? Where am I in time? I totally.
If we were to break now, we'd be perfect on time.
All right. I promise we will get to that when we come back. It's Oscar. Habitations of the towns we know. A place we saw the lights turn low. The jigsaw jazz. Fresh flow, pulling out jobs and jamboree handouts. The best of O'Mara. All right, so we're at the Jimmy's. Girl is our intern, Katie Cole, who got married to, what's his name?
Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy, and we're in and out. I'm coming in and out. I meet the parents. I go out to the bar. I come back in for some sort of toast, and I missed it, but I go back to the bar.
Right.
Then I come back, and Oscar says comes back and says, they're cutting the cake or something
Jimmy,
like that.
Well, in fairness, Jimmy wrangles me. And
Jimmy
Jimmy says,
hey,
you got to come back here. You got to come back here. And I was like, all right, Jimmy. He goes, get the guys. And I'm like, all right, Jimmy.
Yes. Okay. And now, girl didn't care, could care less, right?
No.
I mean, girl was perfectly fine with it. Came back out to the bar area and took pictures with us.
And let me give
you. Everything was fine.
Let me give the lay of the land. The party was in one room. The Buffalo Wing, yes. And then that party had family members that were, you know, your traditional family members at any sort of wedding reception. And then she had a faction of friends from college.
Mm-hmm.
And then she had her TMOS gang.
Right.
And what became really evident to me when I walked in and I saw Mike outside is I was like, oh, I think Mike's just being a little antisocial inside my mind. And I walked back to him like, oh, no, there is no real place for us to hang and do what we do without disrupting anybody. So
right.
We're just going to scurry off to the side.
Right. Seats were taken.
And celebrate the way we know best.
Right.
Right? No problem.
And
Katie
and
was cool with all of it.
Katie was super cool because that's the way she rolls.
Yes.
She was delighted that we made it. I think she was really happy we were there. And how did
Pony
the
was there
thing,
for God's sake.
Yeah,
sakes.
Pony.
Yeah, it was great.
Pony was there.
Pony
was hanging. How did the whole thing germinate about me having to make a speech?
Okay, so
where the F did that?
Because
I was well on my way at that
point. And for some reason, And this could be on my end. I feel when someone's going to give a toast, there's got to be some sort of microphone or PA. Is that fair to say when someone's like corralling somebody?
In a room that size.
It helps command the audience.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not talking about something at a concert or a radio event. Just something you pick up and click and then talk.
Right.
So we both missed the initial toast. We got there tail end. And then so this toast was for the cutting a cake and then for a few words being said.
Okay.
And the few words that were being said were by a couple different people. The first, Jimmy gave a big thank you, because that's what Jimmy does. He's the master of ceremonies. And then Eddie Murphy, her husband, gets up and starts giving a toast. Now, right. At this point, Mike and I are roughly 12 feet away from the couple and Jimmy, who are standing in front of us.
Right. Right.
And at this point, Eddie Murphy, like most of us that would have gotten married in a toast coming at the end of the ceremony or the festivities, right. had a little, a few extra drinks, I imagine.
Sure. Yeah.
And
he would have been socializing for a long time.
Yes. Yeah. And while his sentiment was correct, it was not coming off as I think we all would want it to as he was giving thank yous all around.
Right. Yeah.
At this point, I'm pushing Mike to get in there and do what he does best is be gracious and have some charm and say thank you on behalf of the show.
This is sort of what happened.
Yes.
You were right up to the part about you encouraging Mike because what started happening is you started hitting Mike on the shoulder and saying, save him, save him, save him,
Rob, I didn't feel that that was appropriate because they were supposed to be doing a cake cutting. Right,
and it was really just simple words of thanks, and it was coming to a natural conclusion, and it was winding up.
It was labored.
It was, but I do feel that it would have...
But it was not my place to save that.
No, but Oscar had it really on his mind to save him.
He wanted me... All right, here's the deal. Eddie Murphy, yes, that is the name of her husband.
From Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 2.
Right.
Yes. Eddie Murphy is wrapping this up, but it's going... Because he's a little looped, it's going a little slow. And Oscar somehow thinks that, you know, I've got to step in. Like, this is a live show. And I'm realizing that they're about to cut their cake. This is not the time when I insinuate myself. And so I'm saying, I said, no, Oscar. No,
no.
Oscar, I don't want to. No.
Save him. Save him. Save him. Save him. Save him. Save him.
Save him. Save him. Save him. Save him. Go in there. Save him. Save him. I said, I'm not averse to making a speech, but I'm not going to do it until they have the
cake,
which is their thing.
I stand corrected, but let me add this.
Did I get there? Did I do the speech before the Beverly Hills?
Yeah, this is for Axel. This is for Axel and for Eddie Murphy.
Before they cut the
cake? Before the knife hit the cake, yes.
Save them.
Because
save
I got pushed
him.
Into it.
I know.
I have to say that even Shannon said to me, she goes, thank you. Please thank Mike later on for getting up there and saying what he said, because that came to a natural conclusion, which let everybody clap and then the cutting of the cake.
All right. Well, I felt awkward up there.
You weren't.
Because
you're killed.
You were fine.
I don't think killed is not the word I would use. It was a phoned in. I don't even know the guy's name yet. I for some reason, I block Eddie Murphy because I've met him once.
You could not tell. You could not tell.
No, you did fine. You did fine. But what was great was...
Girl looked lovely, by the way. She looked beautiful.
Behind the scenes.
She looked wonderful.
Save him. Save him. Save him.
I don't want to save him.
Save him. Save him.
It's not the time. Save him. Save him. Oscar, leave him alone. I don't want to save him. Just go up there and save him. You can do this. You can do this. You can do this.
And
then what the problem was actually is...
Just glad. At least Todd was back somewhere behind me because I wouldn't have needed him to go, I don't know if you need to save. You know, which is what he would have said.
The one wrinkle that was not mentioned is when you are right on the precipice of saying yes to Oscar hitting you on the shoulder, really, really kiss of death, you make eye contact with Jimmy. And Jimmy's up there, and Jimmy says, oh, maybe, and I'm reading Jimmy's mind. He said, maybe Mike will come up now. And that's when you're like, okay. And you skulk up there, just like, you know, you're carrying your own cross to the crucifixion. But you did. You brought it to a natural conclusion.
You did.
What you did
really
was
nice.
Strong. Was
really
strong.
Nice.
But and I know you did. But I know you did not want to be there.
And no. Mike, you represented the show.
Yes.
And you, and when that was done, it was easy to say, okay, either you want some cake or not. We go back to our watering hole, which is the corner of Jimmy's bar.
Yes.
Now, let's talk about Todd Moore.
Yes.
We have to take a break. When we come back.
No, we don't have to take a break.
We don't.
No.
This takes us up to the 57 mark.
It does. Yes, it does indeed.
Good. Good. All right. I thought we'd have to take a break. Maybe I just wanted to take a break when I heard the two words Todd Moore.
I thought he was wonderful on Saturday.
Yeah, fun.
Look, there's nothing about hanging out with Todd that I don't dislike. I like Todd. I like Marissa.
Yes.
I like the four of you when you're together. You're cute. Two cuter couples you're not going to meet. Carla loves to hang out with Marissa and Shannon. And, you know, and it's just funny. Todd doesn't even wait. I do the funny thing where I hug Marissa, I hug Shannon, I hug Oscar, and then I walk past Todd.
Which was funny. Like,
and then Todd goes, oh, really? Really? And then Todd immediately starts up with the whole politics, and it just goes on. And it's complete recreation for me. And it goes on. I'm not bored by it because I don't do it with a lot of people. Todd knows where I stand. I know where Todd stands. I think I know. I always feel when I'm talking that Todd has a twinkle in his eye and this bemused expression where I really always think he's just playing everybody.
He's goading
everyone. Todd will say something to get a rise out of people. It's what he does. And he loves talking to me because he can get a rise out of me as easy as anybody. And he just goes on and on. And he'll say something, that's just... And he's knowledgeable enough with his conspiracy theories that, you know, he'll offer up that. And then we just go back and forth and back and forth. But that's not what I got out of talking to Todd all night. The way it ended with Todd, the big news for Todd is that Todd, and you can corroborate this... is giving some very, very serious thought
serious
to moving
thought.
To my state.
Yes.
The
great state of Florida.
To a beautiful place down here.
Yeah.
Because I
like
know
in
he's
in the Keys.
He did like 3 months down there, right?
Roughly two.
His life took a hiatus and he went down there. Yes. Yeah.
And he can work remote from anywhere. He can work from remote from anywhere. He's got his employees
like
across
I
the country.
Do. That's why I'm down here. Yep. And I love the rhythm down here. So he's, I got off the airplane and I was even though it's 1,000 degrees here already, I love it.
We're back home. We're back.
Yep. Right on.
So, no kids. They got the dog, Marissa. And so the three of them now will make a trek to Florida. Two weeks to start. Who knows if it'll become a month? He's not sure. He's going to see where the Keys take him. And
he's looking to buy a place.
Yeah,
right?
He's been gearing up for this for some time.
Okay.
So much so that when we went back to Todd's after Jimmy's, we were watching reviews on pickup trucks that he's picking up. And if he was going to get an F-250, a Raptor, a 150.
Did we mention Todd has more money than Jesus?
He's doing okay.
He's doing okay.
Todd was there for the tech boom. And as far as white noise is concerned, that has changed his life dramatically for the better. And he runs that company as a 2 or 3 man shop and has been doing so for some time.
He is looking to get if he's going to get the place he was talking about, you can tell him.
Yes.
I don't have to tell him directly. That's unnecessary. That I will
and unwanted.
I would be glad to do a weekend down there and come down for a weekend visit and hang out.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
And maybe coincide with you guys coming down to visit or something like that. That would
be the buffer.
It would be fun. And if he's getting the kind of place he says he's going to go, that would be even more fun. That would be very... Very, very
cool. Do you think if he settles in down there and gets used to the Florida rhythm, it'll take away that chip in his brain that when he's just walking by you and I, when we're talking at the bar and he just sticks his head between us and says, so you guys talking about building the wall?
That's how Todd rolls.
That's exactly how he does.
He rolled up on Shannon, Marissa, and Carla, who are all having a pleasant conversation. I think Marissa's talking to Carla, and if I can quote Carla just briefly.
Yeah, Carla's a little tougher than I am.
Carla says, Marissa's like, yeah, you know, we may or may not move. We're just trying to figure that out. And like, can you give us a little advice and give us some context? And Marissa and Carla doesn't miss a beat and says to Marissa, 3 years. And she's like, 3 years for what? She goes, it's going to be miserable for 3 years. And then she goes, because you're rebuilding your life. You have to find a social circle. You have to make friends. You have to figure out the rhythm of what goes down there. If the people stay there all year, or they're just visiting, or they're there for 2 months. It's an adjustment.
Mm. It's an adjustment, and that's when you get settled. After about that time. Do you hate it? No, it's wonderful.
No, it's a beautiful place, but if you're looking for
but
anytime you relocate.
Area,
so that's one.
But at least in Florida, you're starting on third base because it's already nice to begin with.
Well, and also down there, it's much different than where we are.
Sure.
I mean, the Keys are a different world. So, I mean, I don't know what that would be like. You know, Pony, all I know is Bloodline. You know, that's what I think.
Yeah, really.
When I
that's
think
what
of
I
the,
assume it's all like. They're all murderers.
The Florida Keys, bunch of pirates and murderers down there. But no,
I don't know. I haven't seen Marissa in 2 weeks.
Todd likes the beach. He likes boating. He likes the
scuba.
Snorkel. He likes the scuba.
Scuba? You scuba?
He's all about that. I said I will not be scubaing with him. You know, I mean, really, you know, I mean, I could be.
It stands for self-contained underwater breathing apparatus. Mike, will you join me?
I could imagine like I'd be like 20 feet down, you know, and Todd would be, and we'd have the mask on. Todd would be like, you know, going,
What would Joe Biden think of this, Mike?
You know, it'd be it just.
What
be
is he? What do you call Joe Biden? Slow Joe.
Creepy Joe.
Creepy Joe. Which, by the way, is the most hysterical thing I've ever heard when you think about grab him by the end.
Yeah, I know.
But our guy's the creepy one.
Yeah, so, but that's...
It's astonishing, so, but the numbness.
That's the juxtaposition between the conversation we're having and the drinks that are being had.
Right.
Also, right. Todd walks up to the ladies and says, hey, did you know that there are people at this party that are on the Trump train? And then Marissa, his lovely girlfriend, says, no, no, Todd, we're not talking politics. Leave us alone. Go talk to your friends. We're just having a good time. We're not talking politics.
He's an American original,
which is
fun.
Which is so fun.
I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Mike, are you like me?
No.
Exactly. But you do get lost in the lilting lyrical tones of Cardi B when she speaks, right?
Yeah, I've always been fascinated by her baby talk.
A few weeks ago, or I think it might have been even late last year, she was gifted a beautiful set of custom Uggs from the Ugg company.
Uggs.
And she posted this video because she was so excited.
None of you bitches got these exclusive Swiss of Sweets Uggs. What's poppin'? Ow!
What's poppin'? So that to me is a little grating to the ears. So there's a gentleman who actually wrote a light jazz score for that, and I'd like to share it with you now.
All right.
Because I think it makes it much more palatable.
None of you bitches got these exclusive Swiss of Sweets Uggs. What's poppin'? Ow!
That. Play that again. I might love that as much as anything I've ever heard.
Almost fell out of my chair.
That is so flipping funny.
Because he finds the melody and when she goes, none of you bitches. None of you bitches.
None of you bitches got these exclusive Swiss of Sweets Uggs. What's poppin'?
And the flourish.
And that's Cardi B. Yeah.
There you go.
Jesus, that's great. Oh, God. That's so simple and beautiful.
Wonderful.
That's fantastic.
Now, this next thing is really sweet. This trended virally over the weekend. In Boston, a symphony orchestra was performing Mozart, and in the audience was an autistic boy, largely nonverbal. He does not speak, but he loves music. And at a key part, he says, wow, because the music was so beautiful, and the audience reacts in the most marvelous way. This is the conclusion of the Mozart piece.
That's sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, there's some really overwhelmingly sweet video interviewing the parents about how what a big deal that was, and that positive reinforcement of them applauding after he said, wow, made that kid feel a mile high.
As someone who's raising a child with music education almost on a daily basis, I will tell you that is a wonderful thing to bring into your house. And music is very, very important. Anybody who doesn't know that or doesn't think that doesn't know it. And it's really, I think, accelerated my son's learning ability to watch him every day and to see him doing things on the piano that I've never known how to do. It's really, really fun.
Mike, I watch it so you don't have to. Saturday Night Live did another dig a hole in the backyard, burn it, and bury it episode this weekend.
Oh, my God.
He's so right.
It was a disaster.
Who was the guest host?
The very talented Emma Thompson. And they just didn't. Right. And it was a Mother's Day episode, and they just didn't know what to do. I will give you the best 40 seconds of 90 minutes, because what they did, what they always do, they bring out people to get applause. So they brought out Amy Poehler and Tina Fey during the monologue, and they said, for Mother's Day, this is how you translate what mothers say.
When you ask your mother what she wants to do for Mother's Day, and she says,
just to relax in the backyard, maybe a massage.
What she's actually asking is,
how does one buy weed?
When your mother sees what you're wearing and says,
oh, I like that shirt.
What she's trying to say is,
oh, I think I bought you that shirt.
I just saved you 89 minutes and 40 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, they've got a Netflix movie coming out. Amy Poehler's with Tina Fey. I think it's called Wine Country, and it looks horrible.
Oh no.
What was the movie? Was the movie they did Baby Mama? Was that the last duet they did?
Mm-hmm. Bridesmaids was a little funny, and then they all started making these movies. Mm. And the one what was the one with Amy Poehler and Tina Fey where they got drunk and had a big party? It was something.
Like they're teenagers.
I remember. But you see, the thing.
Horrible. Absolutely terrible.
I watched it. Terrible.
Netflix is a blessing and a curse because it allows us to have so much content, but it also says, you know, they've got that name recognition and there's a portion of America that's going to say,
let's be good.
Let them do it. It's going to be good.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. Mike, this is a song that everybody can agree on. Baby Shark. Now, I'm sure Michael is a little too old to be caught up in the Baby Shark phenomenon, but this actually charted as a hit record, and kids love it. But I'm setting up something here. We're also got a generation of kids that are used to, they're used to having the virtual assistants like Alexa, right? Mm-hmm. So here is a young toddler, we'll close with this, a young toddler having a hard time with Alexa, and I do feel Alexa is probably trolling.
The magic dragon lived by the sea.
I do believe my thought is that Alexa might be trolling the kid. I don't know. Let's see.
I think you want to hear the song Baby Shark?
Yeah.
Play the song Baby Shark, right?
Yes.
I didn't catch that. Was that play the song Baby Shark?
Okay, stop doing that, Alexa.
I think you are asking for the song Baby Shark. Is that right?
Yes, it is right.
Was that play the song Baby Shark?
Yes. Okay. Alexa, stop that.
Now the video goes on and on, but Alexa finally does play the song.
None of you bitches, none of you bitches got these exclusive Swisher Sweets hugs. What's popping?
What's popping out, Mike? That's your magic audio vault. Have a great month.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOmeraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.